that's how Maya works. As long as we are engaged in Krishna's service, Maya cannot touch us. But if we come out of the circle of that devotional service, then Maya can take us away. So Maya is always trying to induce us through so many temptations to somehow or other come out of the circle of the association with devotees so she can steal us away. He knew the weakness of Sita was her compassion. Not a weakness, it's a strength. But he was thinking like this. So out of compassion she came out and Ravana stole her away. He revealed himself, I am Ravana. And he got on his chariot, which was led by asses. Black asses. And he started going through the sky. And as he was going, there was one very great devotee in the body of a bird. His name was Jatayu. And if you come on the yatra to Nasik with us, just outside of Nasik is the actual place where Jatayu fought with Ravana. You will see that place. Hare Krishna. So, Jatayu, he saw Sita crying out, help, help, save me. So even though he was very, very old, he was at one time a very great warrior, but now he was so old. But he was a friend of Dasarath Maharaj, the father of Ram. So he immediately said, whether I live or die, but I have to do my service to Ram. So he leaped up into the air and said, Ravana, we give Sita to me. I will not allow you to take her. And then Jatayu attacked Ravana. Hare Krishna. And Jatayu, he was such a good fighter. They were fighting and fighting and fighting, and Jatayu, he didn't even have any weapons. Ravana had his sword and so many astras. And Jatayu, he was just jumping on Ravana, hitting him with his wings. And with his beak, he started biting Ravana. And he knocked off his helmet. And he killed his asses. Hare Krishna. Broke up his chariot. And then he started, with his nails, with his bird nails, he started clawing at Ravana's body and making him bleed. But then Ravana was fighting very, very strong. And somehow or other, because Jatayu was very old, he became tired. And as he was tired, Ravana took the advantage and picked up his sword and cut off both of his wings. And Jatayu fell to the ground, helpless, bleeding. And Sita, seeing how Jatayu gave his life for her, she just blessed Jatayu. And then Ravana took Sita away. Meanwhile, Ram and Lakshman came back to the place of Sita, and she was gone. And they were searching everywhere. And Ram was delirious in separation from Sita. He was weeping and crying. He was going to the trees and the creepers. Where is Sita? Have you seen Sita? The Vipuralamba Bhav, the ecstasy of love and separation, had struck the heart of Ram. Searching everywhere. And they saw some flowers because Sita was dropping flowers. They were following those flowers and then they came upon Jatayu, this big, massive bird laying on the ground. And Rama Lakshman thought, this is a Rakshasa. He must have eaten Sita. Let us kill him. This is how Lord Ram tests his devotees. Jatayu has just given his life. He didn't have a chance against Ravana. He knew he would die if he fought Ravana. He was too old to fight, but he would rather die trying to serve, and go on living knowing that he did not give his life to protect Sita. This is a Vaishnava. Even if we know we have to lose and die, we would rather die knowing we tried than go on living knowing that we didn't. And then after he gave his life and he was laying there suffering terribly, his worshipable Lord, for whom he did everything, Rama was accusing him as the one who ate Sita. Ram was calling him a terrible demon and saying, we should kill him. He has been the one who ate Sita. Sometimes the Lord does like this to us. Even if we give our life, all we get in return is chastisement. Even if we risk everything in our service of the Lord, all we get is misunderstanding. And we're accused instead of praised. This is the mercy of the Lord. And Jatayu was laying there, and he said, Ram, I am Jatayu, the friend of your father, Dasarath. Oh, you are Jatayu. Where is Sita? He explained the whole story, how he tried to protect Sita. Ram heard and understood how he was willing to give his life to serve his devotee in the form of his consort. Ram was so pleased, he began to cry. And he told Jatayu, on this very day he will go back to my eternal abode, the spiritual world. And there we will be together eternally. Jatayu left his body chanting the holy name of Ram with tears in his eyes. And Lord Ram, with tears in his eyes, began to lament the separation from such a devotee who was willing to give his life for his service. Lord Ramchandra then performed the funeral rites for Jatayu. This is a wonderful story because it shows how the Lord does not discriminate. Generally, according to the Vedic customs, one only performs the funeral rite to your own relative. One time in South India, a Brahmin performed the funeral rite to a Sudra. Being criticized like anything. It was actually one of Ramanujacharya's Shiksha Gurus. And Ramanujacharya asked him, why have you done this? Why have you done the funeral rites for a sutra? You are a Brahmin. This is against the customs. You are being criticized. He said, this sutra was a great devotee. And when one is a great devotee, he is beyond all castes. And he used it as an example. That Ram, he performed the funeral rites for someone who wasn't even a human being, for a bird, because he was a devotee. This is the glory of the devotees. So if Ram was willing to do, how can we refuse? So Jatayu went back to Godhead, and Ram, in the direction that Jatayu explained, started searching. As they came to Kishkindha Kshetra, they met Hanuman and Sugriva and made allies with them. And then Lord Ram, for the 4 months of the rainy season, he remained in a mountain in Kishkindha. Have you ever been to Kishkindha Kshetra? We once went on a yatra there. All our devotees from Bombay. It's a beautiful place. Such a nice place. It's Hanumanji's birthplace. There's a mountain called Anjana Paramatra where Hanuman was born. And there's the Pampa Sarovar where Ram first met Hanuman with Lakshmi, and where Shabari, the great lady sage, was performing her tapasya. And there is the place where Ram lived, Malyavanta, the cave where he lived for 4 months of the rainy season. And there's so many wonderful, wonderful places of Hanuman and Ram's pastimes there. It's so beautiful. It's one of the most extraordinary, beautiful places in the whole world. If you go there, your life will never be the same.
So, after the rainy season,
Ram had Sugriva dispatch the Angada, Dambavan, Hanuman, and all the others to various directions searching for Sita. And ultimately, it was Sampati, the brother of Jatayu, by his tremendous vision, was able to see how Sita was in Sri Lanka. Hanuman jumped over the ocean, even though there were so many obstacles. He somehow or other, by his great devotion to Ram, he jumped over the ocean and arrived in Sri Lanka. And there he met Sita, gave her Ram's ring, and said, "Ram will soon come to get you." And Hanuman was captured by Indrajit, and they set his tail on fire, and he jumped to all the buildings of Lanka and burned the city on fire. Hare Krishna. And he came back to Ram and said, "I have found Sita." And was in Kishkindha Kshetra, that place is still there, where Ram embraced Hanuman and said, "Thank you very much." So then they came to the ocean, and in order to cross over, Ram directed the monkey soldiers to build a bridge. It was 80 miles, 10 yojanas wide, this bridge. 80 miles wide. And they took these big, huge mountain peaks and rocks. They just put them in the water. But it is said they put the name of Ram on every rock. And that gave the power stones to float to the ocean. And they took vines and tied all these big, big mountain peaks and boulders and rocks together to make a beautiful bridge. And all the millions of monkey soldiers crossed over the bridge. And then there was the Great War of Sri Lanka, where such powerful, powerful soldiers as Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, and others met their death at the hands of Ram and Lakshmi. And when the commander-in-chief was killed, he was also his brother, Nikumba, Kumba, Dumaraksha, Durmukha, Sharantaka, Narantaka, all these Rakshasas were being killed like anything. Ravana was so much being distressed. Actually, before the war, Ravana's own brother, Vibhishan, who was actually a devotee, he told Ravana that you will be killed, you will be destroyed. Just give Sita back to Ram, otherwise you will die. I'm saying this because I love you as my brother. But Ravana was so attached to Sita, he was so proud of his own borrowed plume, he says. He actually almost killed Vibhishan, his brother, just for giving him good advice. But instead of killing him, he banished him from the kingdom. So Vibhishan went and surrendered to Ram. We went to Vanayatra there too, 2 years ago, a place called Rameshwaram. Setubandha, the place where the Bay of Bengal and the Indian Ocean meet. It's a very beautiful place. And that's the actual place, the point where they began to build a bridge to Sri Lanka. And there's a wonderful, wonderful temple where Vibhishan came and surrendered to Ram. It's a nice story. So Vibhishan surrendered, and Ravana would not listen to him.
And then Ravana, his own wife, Mandodari, was saying, "Give back Sita. Look, I'm your wife. I will satisfy you. You don't need Sita. Ram will kill you."
He just told his wife to be quiet.
He was too proud to take any good advice, even from his well-wishers.
So eventually, Ravana saw all of his armies and all of his generals were destroyed by the sharp arrows of Ram. So ultimately, Ravana himself, he came out to fight. So many wonderful incidents took place in this battle. At one point, Ravana threw a javelin in the chest of Lakshmana, who lay there unconscious. And they said only a specific herb from the Himalayas could cure him. So Ram sent Hanuman to get that herb. So Hanuman, in his great enthusiasm, he jumped from the southernmost point of India, Rameshwaram, almost. He went all the way through the Himalayas, Gandhamad in a mountain, and other big mountains were there. And there he saw the mountain, but he couldn't find the herb. So he understood there's no time to be searching for herbs. So he just lifted up the entire mountain, uprooted it from the Himalayas, and put it in his hand, and jumped, and flew back to Rameshwaram with the mountain in his hand. Shri Hanumanji ki jai. One of the monkey soldiers, who was a doctor, he came and took the herb from the mountain. And when Lakshman smelled the herb, he immediately came back to consciousness. And then Ram told Hanuman to return the mountain. So he jumped back and returned the mountain to Himalayas and came back to fight. Lakshman killed Indrajit. Ravana sent Kumbhakarna. What kind of a story is this? He was so big. Should I tell the story? Is there time? Do you know the story of Kumbhakarna? Hare Krishna. He was such a rakshasa that he was so huge and powerful that he would just eat everything in sight. He had a big mouth, and he would just devour everything. And nobody could tolerate it, and no one could defeat him. So the sages and the demigods approached Lord Brahma and said, "He's going to devour the universe in a matter of time." So Brahma actually cursed Kumbhakarna to sleep continuously. Then he was given a benediction that he could be awake one day per year, and he could eat to his full satisfaction, that he would sleep 364 days of the year. So they built this huge, gigantic palace for him underground, sleep. And when Ravana saw that his armies were being destroyed, he told his servants, "Bring my brother Kumbhakarna, wake him up." How to wake up Kumbhakarna? Because when he would eat that one day, he would just drink buckets of blood and eat mountains of flesh. It would just be rotting in his stomach. And when he would snore, it was like hurricane smelled so miserable. Because, he was just breathing out all these rotten flesh and blood. Even the rakshasas couldn't tolerate his bad breath. So they went to wake him up. So first thing they did is they brought mountains and mountains and mountains and big, big mountains of fresh flesh. Human flesh, animal flesh, all varieties of flesh. And then they brought pails and buckets, tens and thousands of buckets of fresh blood. Feast. And they put it all near him, thinking that he'd be so attracted to these sweet smells that it would wake him up. But he was just sleeping. And his roaring was like thunder. And when you got near him, because he was so big, his nostrils were like caves. When you just went anywhere near the room, you would just be just like the high winds of this terrible smelling bad breath just pushing you away, and the Rakshasas couldn't even tolerate him. But somehow they had to wake him up. So the first thing they did is they took these huge kettle drums and conch shells and went right to his ear and started blowing and beating and blowing and beating and blowing and beating. Just kept sleeping. Snoring so loud it was piercing people's ears. So that didn't work. So then they took these big, big maces and started beating him with it. That didn't work. And they started putting sharp nails at the end of the maces. And there were thousands of people in all parts of his body just beating him with these maces, with nails in him. Meanwhile, they were beating kettle drums and blowing conch shells in his ears. He still didn't wake up. Then they took tens and thousands of elephants and chariots with horses and started driving up and down his chest. He was very big. They were driving up and down his chest and beating him and screaming and having conch shells and drums. Finally, as soon as he woke up, within a matter of minutes, he just ate all the mountains of flesh and drank all the buckets of blood. And then he stood up. He was told, "Your brother Ravana is calling for you." He started walking. And as he was walking, he was in the palace walls when the monkey soldiers saw him stand up and walking, towering over the whole city. They were struck with fear. Even Ram asked Vibhishan, "Who is that? What is that? Never have I seen such a monster." Vibhishan said, "That is my brother, Kumbhakarna. He told him the whole story of Kumbhakarna, how dangerous he is." So Ravana told Kumbhakarna that I must have Sita as my wife. And this rascal, Ram, he is causing so much disturbance. He has destroyed practically our whole army of Rakshasas. He's exterminating our civilization. I want you to go and kill him and his brother, Lakshmi." And then Ravana started giving Kumbhakarna all sorts of precious jewels and necklaces and gifts. Kumbhakarna said, "By evening tonight, Sita will be yours. Ravana will be dead." So then Kumbhakarna came out into the warp field. And the monkeys were just like, "Shh, what are we going to do?" They were like little insects compared to him. They started jumping on him. And Kumbhakarna was just picking up handfuls within hand. He was picking up dozens at a time and just putting them in his mouth. And whatever monkeys were crawling on his body, he would just scoop them up with his hand and shove them in his mouth and eat them. And blood was flowing all over from his mouth. Hanuman, Sugriva, they actually jumped on him. And they bit his nose and jumped away. Hare Krishna. Then he became even more angry. He was just devouring everything in sight. Anybody in the battlefield that came before him, he would just put him in his mouth and eat him. Hare Krishna, what to do? So then Ram understood that he was the only one who could protect his devotees from such monstrous Rakshasa demons. And as great Kshatriyas that they were, they both started insulting each other. And then Kumbhakarna came to attack Ram with a mace in his hand. And Ram shot an arrow and cut off his arm. The mace fell. Then he came with his other arm, and Ram cut off that arm. Then he started coming to Ram to trample him with his feet. And then Ram cut off both of his legs. Then he was laying there, and he opened his mouth to devour Ram with his mouth. And Ram filled his mouth with thousands and thousands and thousands of arrows. Then he was laying there completely helpless. And then Ram, with a special crescent moon-shaped arrow, he cut off Kumbhakarna's head and sent it flying to the gate of Lanka, where Ravana very, very miserably received it. When the news came that Kumbhakarna's head is gone, he's dead, Ravana was terribly disgusted. He was besides himself with anxiety and grief. How is this possible? How is this possible? I'm losing. I've never lost before. And Indrajit said, don't worry, I will kill him. I know how to do it. And Indrajit went out, and that was a massive, terrible battle. And ultimately, Lakshman killed Indrajit, who was the prized, best, beloved son of Ravana, who was supposed to be the next king. And Ravana was so angry, he blamed Sita for everything. It's all because of this Sita that my son Indrajit, my brother Kumbhakarna, and all the others have died. Our whole Rakshasa race is being destroyed because of this woman. Therefore, right now, I will kill her and eat her. And Mandodari and others said, Ram, she's just a woman. Why don't you just try to kill Ram? So he said, yes, I will kill Ram. Then finally he said, I will go to the battle. Arranged a big, beautiful chariot for him. He gave him all his weapons and armor. And Ram himself, when they saw Ravana coming to the battlefield, Ravana was so powerful, he was just destroying the entire monkey army. And at one point, as we explained, Lakshman stood before Ravana, and Ravana threw the javelin, and Hanuman had to come with the mountain to save. That happened twice, once with Indrajit and once with Ravana. And then Ram understood that this demon must be killed. He's causing too much anxiety. Do you know what the name Ravana means? Who knows the Sanskrit definition for Ravana? Means one who makes everyone cry in misery, hurt. So Indra sent his own chariot, because Ram was living in the forest all these years, he was just fighting by foot. So that he sent his own chariot and chariot driver, Ram, to sit on to fight with Ram. And he went out there, and it was a wonderful, wonderful battle. Ravana had 10 heads. And every time Ram would shoot off one of the head would grow back. Because he had this benediction. Ravana symbolized lust. In the maximum extent, he wanted to enjoy Sita for himself. And this is the nature of lust, that no one but Krishna himself can destroy this demon of lust within him. And every time you try to cut off one of the heads of lust, at the least expected moment, another head grows. Do you have this experience, any of you? Every time you perform some tapasya or you overcome some desire, another one grows, another one grows. So then, Vibhishan told Ram about the benediction. O
only way to kill him was to pierce his heart.
So here in this particular verse that we are reading today, Ram is taking his most specialized arrow and shooting it right into the heart of Ravana. And Ravana begins to vomit blood from all his 10 mouths. And then he falls from his chariot onto the ground, dead. Shri Ramchandra ki
jai!
And Srila Prabhupada explains here that when he died, it was just as he fell from his airplane, like a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted.
She says in Gita, Abramabhu guna loka punaravartu mudra, mamu peita tu kondaya punara janara nitya. From the highest planet in this world down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Why are they places of misery? Because they're temporary. Even in Brahma Loka, where you can enjoy so many wonderful pleasures, when your good karma runs out, you fall back down to this world of misery.
So the heavenly planets, Prabodhananda Saraswati explained that a devotee cares no more for the heavenly planets than the will-o'-the-wisp. It is all just an illusion. It's all temporary. Why should we want to enjoy any of the pleasures of this material existence? We should keep our mind always fixed in the service of Krishna and not be distracted by anything else or anyone else.
So Ravana fell down
and he was dead. And all of the queens of Ravana and whatever survivors of his family were there, they all cried out, "Alas, alas." Mandodari and others, they began to beat their chests and weep and cry. They started chastising their husband. Because you were so lusty to enjoy another man's wife, therefore you had to die. It was inevitable. Why couldn't you have been satisfied with what you had? And now we are alone and we are widows. And all the Rakshasas that remained were weeping and crying and devastated. And all the monkey soldiers were dancing and chanting, having wonderful kirtan, celebrating the victory of Ram. Ram Vijayotsava. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice analogy in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. He explains how the armies of Ravana were very, very sophisticated military. They had the most modern, sophisticated weapons. They were very, very trained soldiers. Ravana really knew how to encourage and train his soldiers, and he was very affectionate to them. He was affectionate if they surrendered to him, and he was crueler than death if they didn't. So he had the complete loyalty and allegiance. They considered Ravana to be God. He was infallible. No one could disturb him. So he had such armies. They had all these terrible, terrible ashtras. And the monkey army of Ram, what did they have? There was only two weapons in the entire military force of Ram. Lakshman and Ram both had bows and arrows. The monkeys had nothing. All they had was their claws and their teeth. And the Rakshasas had all these weapons and swords and bows and arrows and brahmastras. And the monkeys just had their claws and teeth. And whatever they could pick up, they would throw. They would pick up stones, they would pick up trees. They had nothing. So by material standards, the army of Ravana was undefeatable, and the army of Ram was very, very unprepared. However, Gopi soldiers were fighting for Ram. And Ravana was fighting for his own selfish, egoistic greed. And Prabhupada says, however materially equipped we are, if we are against Ram, we will be destroyed. And even if we have nothing, if we are on the side of Ram, we will be victorious. Srila Prabhupada said that the Ravana mentality has conquered this world. Prabhupada said, I have come as the representative of Ram. And he looked at his disciples and he said, the only people he has given me to help is monkeys like you. But it is our duty to bring Sita back to Ram. Fortune of the world, we must bring back to God. And Srila Prabhupada explained that even this modern civilization, Maya, they have so much technology and so many universities and so many governments and so many militaries. And what is the Hare Krishna movement? We have a few Mataji's cooking, distributing books and a few men. We have very little money. No weapons. It's just a few of us. And Srila Prabhupada said, if we just surrender to Ram and fight for Ram, we will conquer the world and bring it all back to the lotus feet of the Lord. So devotees should never be discouraged due to material disqualifications. Ananyas chintayanto mam yedina pari. Krishna says in Gita, you just surrender to me. I will preserve whatever you have, and whatever is insufficient, whatever you require, I will give it. But you will be victorious. My devotee will never perish. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partha Duni. Wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there will be victory and great opulence. So we should never calculate by material considerations. We should only calculate, are we on the side of Ram? Are we doing the service of Guru and Krishna? If so, by Krishna's grace, and then Lord Sri Ramchandra coronated Vibhishan, his devotee, as king. And then Sita was brought back. Actually, she was a false Sita, because the real Sita can never be touched by Ravana. Lord Chaitanya, when he was in South India, he met one Brahman, who was a great devotee of Ram. He invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch prasad. And Lord Chaitanya waited for hours for lunch prasad. And finally he asked the Brahmin, where is prasad? And the Brahmin was crying in the ecstasy of the mood. He said that, how could I cook, how could I eat when Sita has been stolen by Ravana? But ultimately, knowing he had a guest, he cooked for Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya continued his travels. And he actually went to Rameshwaram. And in Rameshwaram, in the temple, he found the Kurma Purana. And in the Kurma Purana, it describes the glories of the chastity of Sita. And it described in that Purana how when Ram knew that Ravana would come, what he did is he put Sita in the care of Agni Dev. Agni Dev understood that this was going to happen, so he took Sita and placed her under the care of Parvati and created a false Sita, an illusory Sita, who looked just like Sita. And that was the Sita. She wasn't exactly a false Sita. She wasn't the real Sita. She was an expansion of the real Sita.
Hanuman brought back that Sita, then Ram wanted to test her chastity. He said, this Sita, she has been living with another man for 1 year. How can I accept her back? So after the whole battle was there, Sita was brokenhearted. And she said, Lakshman, bring wood and start a fire, and I will enter into the fire just to prove my perfect chastity. Lakshman was very disappointed. Sita is my worshipful object. She is the consort of my lord. To make a fire for her to enter into, very difficult. Ram, I cannot do this. Said, you do it. Right. Lakshman got wood and started a fire, and Sita entered into the fire. And when she entered into the fire god Agni Dev came out. And he brought the real Sita. And he said to Ram that in her mind, body, and words, she has never thought of anything but her loving service to you. She is perfectly chaste. If she would have for even one moment considered anything but the thought of Ram during that year, she would have burned in the fire. But because she was perfectly fixed in the chastity of her devotion to Ram, the fire only made her body beautiful. And then there's a long, beautiful,